Thank you, Jose, and hi, everyone, viewing from home, the live streamers, Hugh, Louise, Trish, Helen, Jen, and my wife. She's a little tired and hurting, so as we all know, she's not going to be here. She was training to join the WWF by practicing jumping off of ladders and doing elbow drives into the concrete, but she's in pain, and I am too, in a way. It's interesting to see and to experience how quick life can change, and it's a new experience for us again, and I'm fully supportive of everything that needs to be done and to be able to support her and through this process, and I'd ask continuous prayers for her and for quick healing, not just for her, for all of our. We had a great service this morning, and I appreciated that as well, the names that were brought forth. But there's always the time that we have, I believe every day, to be able to separate ourselves from the world and to be able to ponder upon those things that the Lord has upon our hearts. One of the times that I have during the day is at lunch, at work. I tend to shut my door, turn off the lights so nobody will disturb me. And it's just my quiet time to where I can do some of the things that are aside from the craziness of the day. Again, here's another chapter and we're in a new year and life is crazy right out of the gate. And what do you do? I look to the Lord in the light that He is and know that in all things that He's there to lead the way, as our brother was explaining this morning. And I think about that, how He is the light in our lives, and we could be the light for Him. Quick example of that, I really don't know if everybody got a chance to see that last night or the other night. It was really neat. Eric, my son, he was telling me to come out back, and they launched a rocket out of the state of California. And I don't know if anybody got to see that, but boy, that is like, man, for how far and how high it's going into orbit, how well you can see that, it's a really a neat sight. And one of the things I thought about is just that light that God is. No matter where you are, you can see it, and you can see it in your life. And you know, it's interesting because it sometimes, like, you know, I get emotional about things, not like in a bad way, but in a good way. And I was getting all excited about that, and I ran to the closet and I got my binoculars out and I wanted to see it more. I wanted to like get a better view of it because you could see just the exhaust from the propulsion of it and the rockets, the boosters, that it was just putting out an immense amount of fuel and light. And so I ran and I grabbed the binoculars. And then when you put the binoculars on it and you really focus on it and you zoom in on it, you could really see the ignition fires coming out of those rockets. And it just leaves, like, I counted three boosters on it. And each of the boosters, you could see the puffs of smoke. It was almost like how it like a spark plug in an engine, it would ignite that fire. And it just was propelling that thing just unbelievably, the amount of power it has. And then we even watched it to the point to where it dropped the boosters, and then that secondary rocket that's on whatever ship that was, kicked in and turned on, and we got to watch that effect as well, which was smaller and smaller, and then it just, they shut that off once it hit orbit. But I was thinking about that and the power of people's minds and wisdom and the things that they work together to develop. But it really led me to understand that, you know, even God is more than that. It's hard to fathom, you know, all the engineering and what it takes to be able to propel a rocket into space and to do it successfully. And, you know, all the things that God sets out to do, He does successfully. And something like of that nature that I just can't even wrap my head around, but just stand in awe and get excited about like a little child, you know, even much more so, that's my anticipation of the things that God shows us and wants us to experience and observe in our lives, is to be able to see His power and His capability and the things that He does in people's lives, and that light that He is, to where it could be seen at any time and at any moment. And, you know, despite all the craziness I see that has happened with us, with Alicia, I see the blessings that come with that. Some of the things that, you know, we're again talking about is just how disastrous that can be. But I believe that God truly had a hand in her fall. And I'm thankful for that. But with the craziness of life, you know, things have just kind of been turned upside down. So I've been doing, we're doing a Sunday school book club kind of thing. And we're reading a book. It's The Case for Christ. And it's by Lee Strobel. And this is a gentleman. And as we're getting into it, I believe we're up to chapter 8 now. And I read three of the chapters that were assigned for the last week. And found some interesting things there, because a lot of times I look at life and how crazy it is. And, you know, I'm sure life was crazy in the time of Christ as well. You know, there's all kinds of stuff going on with the Jews, the Romans, the Gentiles, all these things that were transpiring. And I'm sure there was a lot of chaos and all that. And one of the things that Christ was bringing and during that time was an avenue, a light to all mankind. And it was for all mankind. It wasn't something that was just imagined up. He wasn't trying to start a cult. He wasn't trying to do any of that. He was trying to show the world his love that he had for the world. And one of the chapters in this book is what I wanted to relate to tonight. It is so let me give a little backstory on the writer, Lee Strobel, in this book. It's Lee Strobel. He was once an atheist, and now he's a devout Christian. He was a journalist in the Chicago Tribune, and he spent a lot of his time, because of his wife, he was trying to disprove the fact that Christ was real, that he existed. And so one of the things he set out to do, he went out to get all this proof to be able to prove his wife wrong and to have the facts, because that's what a journalist does. They go out and hopefully they search for the facts, and they have all their facts together to prove a point and to be able to show what their proof is. And so he went to all these very distinguished schools and these professors and doctors, and really it's just a neat book and how you look and see, in which I don't think we're really shown enough in our society about the time and the efforts that a lot of people put, lifelong efforts into the apologetics and the support of the gospel and Christ. And, you know, there's all different types of proofs that there are out there. And this book opened up my eyes to a lot of these different historical and one of the things I want to talk tonight about is, because life is crazy, is the psychological evidence of Christ. And it's because, you know, even the at that time they thought that he was possessed by a demon, and we're going to read that, and that he was a madman. And I think about that, and it's just the perspective that people have because of their situation can be completely obscure to what it really is. And that's one of the things that this gentleman, Lee Strobel, he set out to do to prove to his wife and to prove that Christ really wasn't who he claimed to be. But in one of the chapters in this book, it was, the chapter is called The Psychological Evidence of Christ. And it was his seventh interview. So he goes around, he interviews all these people, these well-renowned authorities in the gospel. And this gentleman's name was Gary Collins. He had a PhD doctorate for clinical psychology from the University of Purdue. He wrote 45 books on psychology-related topics. He was the editor of Christian Counseling Today and a contributing editor of the Journal of Psychology and Theology. And I think about these people just like, you know, thinking about the people that put together this rocket and launched it into space. You know, this gentleman wrote 45 books, and, you know, I think about, you know, my efforts and what have I done, and it's nothing in comparison to some of the time and the efforts that go into what has been dedicated to this belief system in Christianity. And I'm thankful to be able to read and to understand, to grow and to learn, and God wants us to do that. And, you know, there's a lot of individuals out there, as you get to looking, you get out your binoculars, you start looking closer at things, you can really see more of the details that come along with our beliefs. And that's what we try to do, and what we try to share with everybody is, you know, the neat things that we see and learn from other people's research and studies and our own research and studies. So I got to give a lot of credit to some of this sermon tonight to this gentleman, Gary Collins, but most importantly, Lee Strobel, who, again, has written books himself to be able to support a belief that he has devoutly put into Christianity and in Christ and his teachings and his doctrine. You know, a gentleman that was once an atheist is now serving a life of dedication to Christ. And so this psychological evidence of Christ, you know, it's like, it's one of those things that you look at it and they want to understand the mental state of Jesus at the time during his ministry. And I think about that, and with everything that's going on, there's a lot that people could interpret from an individual, but we see through his works and the proofs that we have historically, and it's all documented, that the love that Christ has was true, and it was a gift, and it was given to us, and it was given to us through examples that he put forth through his life, through his teachings, and through his ministry, which he still has today, which I'm thankful for. And it's to be shared, and it's to be something that helps us have a deeper understanding, and hopefully it turns into a deeper relationship within yourself that you can have with Christ. Like I said, we're in 2026. This is a new start. This is a new year. You know, I told my wife that she got started off on the wrong foot, but a lot of us have the opportunity to start off on the right foot and to think about these things and maybe spark your interest in something that will give you the ambition to be able to see further into your spiritual life, your walk with Christ, your relationship with Christ. One of the things I appreciate is the ability to have those hard conversations. Looking for direction and understanding the way to be able to guide yourself and others down a path that is something that would be fruitful and pleasing in the sight of our Lord. And so I think about those things, and I know that for a fact that a lot of the times I feel crazy myself, and my demeanor, my emotions, my state of mind really probably express that a lot more than the calmness and the capabilities that Jesus had to be able to redirect not only how he put himself out there in his thoughts and his love, but also how he was a perfect example of that and how we can go to him and learn how to do that. And so I think about, you know, the ability to be able to prove to others that we do have the capability to do these things, to be able to temper our frustrations and to be able to calm our nerves and to be able to focus on those things that God gives us in our abilities. And, you know, a lot of times it's hard. It's hard when things are happening all around you and you feel like you're all over the place to be able to structure those, put those things into alignment and have a balance to that when there's so much going on. And then all of a sudden things just turn upside down in your life. And it's interesting how you could put that into God's hands and ask him to be able to help, and he gives you the structure, he gives you the balance, and he gives you the capability to be able to focus on what needs to be done. He prioritizes those things in your life, and I'm thankful for that. And so first and foremost is being able to take care of my family and my wife, but I think about that and how it's just such a wonderful thing to be able to see how God is working in our lives and to be able to share that. And I'm thankful for the testimonies, not just my wife and everybody else's that had a testimony today. It truly is uplifting when God gives you these things to be able to witness to and how he's working. But the mental state of Jesus, you know, I think about, you know, how we all need that reprieve from the crazy world in which we live in. Again, I was really thankful for my brother yesterday. With everything that was going on and everything that was happening, it gave me a break. We had 2.5 hours of time that we got to go and do something that really we enjoyed together. And it truly, I was very thankful of that because it's something that I needed. And you know when you need something and the Lord provides it, especially if you ask the Lord and you approach the Lord for those things that you need. And just a little break sometimes is I'm truly grateful for that. But I wanted to read and kind of talk about this mental state of Jesus and where he was at in his state of mind. And not really from my perspective, but from this professional, PhD, this gentleman, Gary Collins, and how he looked at the claims that were made about Jesus and how he proved that he was healthier than all of us. What he had to deal with and the people that he had to deal with, he was healthier than all of us. And we know that. But it was really interesting to be able to dive in and see this perspective. And so I wanted to read out of John chapter 10, verses 14 through 20. And I'm also going to read, 14 through 20. John 10, 14, it says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man hath taken it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? And you know, he was being ridiculed. He was being ridiculed by his own people, by the Jews. And, you know, here is a difficult situation for Jesus to be able to explain these things. But look at how he eloquently put these things out there for people that were willing to hear, to be able to hear and to understand. And there is a power in a person's ability to be able to communicate effectively. And this is something that he was perfect in that. He knew exactly what to say, and he was saying it. He wasn't making anything outrageous, no outrageous claims about himself. And that's, you know, something that a lot of people were just saying. He was a sorcerer, and, you know, he was possessed by a devil. But all those things that Jesus did, he backed it up with his actions. You know, all the miracles that he performed, that he backed it up with his actions. He proved to people of who he was. As Gary Collins said, he had power over nature. He had the ability to be able to cure illnesses, raising the dead. We'll get into that with his dear friend Lazarus. And he even turned the water into wine. And he even, you know, was in power of his own resurrection. And some of the people were saying that skeptics of this day and of that time said that, you know, he was had the capability to be able to hypnotize people and to be able to make them think that these things were done through hypnotism. I guess it's been around for quite some time. But he breaks that down too, saying, you know, this Gary Collins with saying that when you have skeptics all around you questioning what you're doing and why you're doing it, they don't have the ability to be able to be hypnotized. They're not gonna be in large, when you're in large groups like that, they're not going to be able to be controlled through those types of psychological exercises. And so for them to be able to state these things that, you know, he was hypnotizing people is just a complete falsehood by the people, because they were fearful of the truth and the capabilities that he truly had. And so he proved himself by doing these things over and over and over again. And one of the things that Gary Collins says is he was the best in the world for the oversight of souls. None so skillful, so faithful, so tender as he. No such feeder and leader, no such protector and healer of souls as he. And again, these are the things that, you know, we have documented that, again, people can look to see that Jesus himself was doing these things because he wanted to prove to the world. He didn't want to prove to the world that he had the ability to control, but the ability to persuade and to show people a way, and that there was more to him in his love that people could fathom. And by speaking that, he laid down his life, and he has the power to lay it down and the power to take it again. You know, this is something that he was showing, that he even had the power to be able to help us and help us in our needs, whether it's psychological or physical and or emotional. These are the things that Christ was doing as a good shepherd to help us be able to see and to understand that there's so many more deeper things that Christ was doing than just trying to persuade a crowd through hypnosis or magical tricks or any of those things, wizardry, that they were claiming of him. But it was because of his love and for his compassion for mankind that he did these things. He wanted us to be able to see the way, to have a way, and to understand the way that is to him and his Father. And again, a lot of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they didn't understand this. They didn't. They really were so tied up in their pride that they didn't want to be stripped of their power and have to agree to what Christ was saying. But he did these things out of a care for all of us, to where we know that no matter how crazy the world is, that psychologically, he can help heal us. He can be the avenue in which we take to be able to fix those things that are going on with inside of us that cause us to be stressed out, that cause us to be overwhelmed, that cause us not to be able to see clearly. He is that avenue for us. He's the light for us that we should be sharing with each other. And again, one of these things that he proved through his works, I wanted to read John chapter 11, verses 23 through 27. This is where Lazarus died, and he was dead for 4 days, and Martha was coming to Jesus, and she was saying, hey, if I come to you, I know that you will raise him, and it's because anything that you is brought before you, you can do. So let's read John chapter 11, verses 23 through 27. It says, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. He just knows. He knows what the outcome's already going to be. And so Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, though, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And I'm going to jump down to verse 32 and read through 35. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. And so this psychological, I mean, this is really, you know, hearts were broken. Feelings emotions were really at a pinnacle of sadness. And, you know, these things were unfolding. And here Jesus is proving to them that how much he truly loved them, you know, where it says that Jesus wept. This is something that he was doing because he had compassion and he had love for these people, that Lazarus and Martha and Mary, and those people that were truly close to him. And, you know, I know in our society, for a man to cry, that's kind of not the manly thing to do. But one of the things that Gary Collins was saying is that this is a very, very healthy and typical reaction for a man to have this type of emotion in a situation like this. It was good for him to cry. It was showing everybody how much he loved these people that were close to him. And so this is another proof that Jesus was capable of understanding our human nature, capable of understanding what's going on inside of the hearts and the minds of those that are around him. And I think about that and how, you know, even in this situation here, we have loved ones that pass away from us from time to time. Jesus, God, understands what's going on inside of us. And it's healthy for us to be able to let those things out and to mourn and to weep and to have Jesus be a part of that and to call upon him to help comfort you and to get you through the difficult situations. You know, I was thinking about when Elisha fell and what the worst case scenario is. I mean, all these things start running through your mind and how blessed we were. And the fact that, you know, a broken back, broken hip, a broken neck, a cracked skull, coma, all these things are just going all over the place in your mind. And I'm thankful. I am thankful because there was so many opportunities to worry about so many things, but God brought a calmness over the situation. And just like this case here with Lazarus, he brought calm to the crowd, the people that were there and that gathered. And we know that he resurrected them, but, you know, he was showing how much he loved those that were around him. Gary Collins stated that he was loving, but didn't let his compassion immobilize him. You know, he didn't completely break down. You know, he wept and he was having a difficult situation, but he knew exactly what to do and he did it. He didn't have a big eagle, a bloated eagle. Here's what he says. Even though he was surrounded by adoring crowds, like, you know, he was doing these things and he brought Lazarus back. And, you know, it wasn't about him. It wasn't about, it was about him, but it wasn't about raising his ego and gathering people to bring him fame. He was doing it because of his love. He maintained balance with a demanding lifestyle, and he always knew what he was doing and where he was going. I really appreciate that. And he cared deeply about people, including women and children, who weren't seen as being important back then. He was able to accept people. He responded to individuals based on where they were at and what they uniquely needed. And I'd have to say, I'm a very unique person at times, and it's very difficult to figure me out sometimes, but I know that Jesus knows why I'm like that, and Jesus knows what I need to do to be able to have better understanding, to be able to be effective with my emotions, and he understands what he needs to put in my heart to help me be able to see what it is that is the good that can come out of me through those difficult situations. That's the uniqueness in all of us. I know that all of us probably react differently in difficult situations, sometimes to the point of regret. But I know that Jesus is always there. If we're trying, Jesus is always there to be able to show us the way. You know, these situations where we feel the Spirit of God working within us and in our hearts. You know, these are opportunities for us to be able to see Jesus, Him at work in our lives. And I'm thankful for that, because we need to be seeing Jesus at work in our lives more and more in this day. I'm thankful for how in these situations, when they're calling him a madman and he's possessed with a demon, and how he does the things that he does through wizardry, but how I'm appreciative of how, as Gary Collins puts it with Christ, that Jesus speaks powerfully, eloquently, and he knows exactly what tone, emotions, word, and examples to use to provide a point and teaching an example through example. You know, these are the things that Christ it was him. He was setting the tone for our lives, for the situations that we deal with, and for us to be able to understand and how to deal with them. And I think about how powerful his words are. If you really have this deep relationship with Christ, you'll start to understand his words and the effect that they have, not only in you, but on others as well. How those things that he can say, or those things that he can do, really truly have an impact in our lives, each and every one of our unique lives. And again, you know, this just goes to prove his mindset, where he was psychologically, and how healthy he actually was. He was perfect in everything. There's no other situation that was troubling, the turning over the tables. You know, he had every right to do that. And some people say he flew off the handle, but it was appropriate for the situation that he was in and the struggles that he was having with the money changers in that given environment, in that situation, the advantage that they were taking of the people. And so these are the things that he shows, that, you know, he's not about just money. He's not just about his fame and having his name out there. It's about having something that he looks at when it comes to children, men having difficulties, women having difficulties. You know, he wants to develop these protective, deep, abiding relationships with all of us. And no matter what walk of life you're from, or how you've been raised in your family, he's there for everybody at all times. These are the things that he puts out there through his word, through his gospel, for us to be able to see, and a lot of times just to be in awe of. It's a wonderful thing when you see how powerful his word actually is, and how much he cares about our emotional state, our health, and those things that are going on within us psychologically. A very neat, different perspective on how to see somebody look at what Christ was doing and is doing. He's continuing to do. We know, it says in Isaiah 53:3-5, that, you know, when he was doing all this, it was prophesied that he was going to be despised and rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And so this is that healing process that he took upon himself for us, for all the failures that we have in our lives. And again, I know that we have a year that's gone by. We have a new year. We try to set goals for ourselves, and, you know, sometimes we're going to fail. But especially when it comes to trying to do things in a world that can be very challenging and difficult and frustrating. But most importantly, I think that when we have this new year coming, we should be setting goals spiritually for ourselves that help us be able to learn about Jesus and what he was doing. Look at other people's perspectives of Jesus. There's so much more to learn. And God wants us to be able to continue to learn and grow. So these things that he did, he experienced when he walked with man. It was for a purpose. It was for a purpose for us to be able to have an understanding that he was just like us. But he knew what to do and how to do it. And that's the relationship I'm thankful for to be able to have with our Lord and our Savior, is that he understands me and my uniqueness better than anybody. Maybe not, well, yeah, better than my wife. She's next. But he truly understands us. And it's important that we understand through no matter what difficulties we have that the Lord is there. And so we should be praising him. We should be glorifying him in our lives. Psalms 103, 1 through 4. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, within our hearts, within our minds. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know, all these benefits, I'm really appreciative of the benefits that I get for working with the government, the city, but it's nothing like the benefits that you get from Christ every single day, the benefits that are poured out upon you. And if you're willing to see those things, you will. You will see those things that he can do in your life. And it's because of his loving kindness and his tender mercies that we have that opportunity to feel that in our lives, and to it's an emotional, it's emotionally okay to be able to have tears of joy, have tears for thankfulness, to have those emotions that truly lift you up as a child that's excited, that's understanding, that's learning, that is having a father that truly loves you. And I'm thankful that these words teach us those things, and that we can see how it does impact our lives. It helps us be able to see the glass half full rather than half empty. It helps us be able to be optimistic rather than pessimistic. And it helps us be able to be kind rather than harsh. And it helps us be able to put others before us rather than ourselves above people. I truly appreciate how psychologically we're affected and impacted by the Lord because of our understanding of the goodness that comes with that and the benefits that come with that. And so in Psalms 147, 1 through 5, it says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and he bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. You know, a lot of times I don't even get myself and why I'm doing some of the things that I do. It's kind of comical within me, but I think a lot of times it's because of my immaturity and my selfishness of who I am. And God understands that, and he's helped me be able to try to deviate from that path when those situations arise. It's because he knows me, and it's because I have a desire to be like him, just like a child looks up to his father. And it helps me be able to sing songs truly out of the heart to him. And it helps me be able to understand that, yep, even once, just as he gathered together the outcasts of Israel, that at one time I was an outcast in my life. I was a complete rebel. I was not pleasant in anyone's sight. And he took that and he fixed that within me. I appreciate the understanding that he has of my mechanics. I hope you see how he can fix those things that are in your life that require fine-tuning. Because, again, you know, if we have the capability to learn and grow and to see and to get excited, just as a child would with new things, simple things in life, simple things that from afar off look very interesting and very powerful. But as you look closer in, you see the beauty and the ability that it has for us in our lives, and that's Christ in our lives. Just as I was looking at that rocket, I felt like a little kid, and it just makes me even that much more capable of understanding how it does feel like to be a child in the eyes of Christ. It's because his understanding is infinite, and I have very little understanding with a lot of things. But it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity in a new year. There will be a new year again and again, but we only get so many of them. And that's the challenge within ourselves, is to be able to take advantage of the time that you have, that God gives you, and the sooner that you can see his great power and his ability that he can do, that's much more to your benefit and personal advantage with that deep relationship that you can have with your Lord to help you in your life in this world. And it's because, you know, he understands. He just understands us like none other. I think about that, and I think about how it could be difficult to be able to have understanding for others, especially with the terms and conditions that life gave them. But Christ sees everybody and knows everybody. It's very neat to see how he can help us despite any situation that we're in again. Luke chapter 5, 29 through 32 says, "And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. But their scribes and their Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, 'What do you eat and drink with the publicans and sinners?' And Jesus answering said unto him, 'They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance.'" And I wanted to use this as an example, is because, you know, we all run into certain companies where, you know, we might feel out of place. We might feel it difficult to be able to communicate. We might find it hard to be able to understand where other people are coming from. But Jesus put himself in all those different situations, and he did it in a fashion that was to show that he has a love for all mankind. And it's not that he wanted to put shame on anybody individually. That wasn't his goal. It was to plant the seed in people's hearts that he had a love for everybody. And again, with the way that he did it and how he does it, is truly amazing. And it really helps you be able to understand that despite the psychological difficulties that you could have in your life, that God has a way. He knows the way. His understanding is more than anybody's. Anybody that can tell you different in this world. And again, we have this opportunity to be able to serve a Lord and to aspire to be a light for others, to be able to see his ways and his power and his capability, and to do that through a manner that is pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. So with that, I thank each and every one of you for your time tonight. I really appreciate the ability to be able to learn and grow, read and understand, and see some of these interviews, or read some of these interviews that this gentleman Lee Strobel put together for us to be able to see lifelong work to prove at how good God is. And I think that's our role in this world as well. So may God bless you in that endeavor. May you see that light in your life, and may you see the power and the love that comes from Christ. God bless each and every one of you.